What's going on, everyone? It is Friday night, February 21st, 2020. We hit 7,000 subscribers, so I promised everyone that wanted to see it. Yours truly would go 80s. I got the Sergio Tacchini outfit. I got the shoes. You know, the Miami Vice shoes. I don't know if you can see them. Yeah, there you go. Oh, my God. This jacket is so freaking tight. I can't believe I'm wearing this. Man, if you're on my Twitter, you saw I posted like four or five different outfit options tonight. And a lot of you asked, oh, and the hair's got to be completely slicked back. I got to have the gold chain. And you got to have the Rolex. I haven't taken this out of storage for about 20 years. The battery's dead, obviously. But yeah, when we used to go to the club, this is how we would hang out. And then whenever you would take a drink, you always had to use the pinky. Like, I can't, maybe I could, shit. You know what? Pretend this is a drink. Like, when you would take a drink, you would do this. You'd always have to leave your pinky up. And then the funniest was watching all the cardboard gangsters. Once Goodfellas came out, what's up, 90s guy? When Goodfellas came out in 1990 and we would go to clubs, I swear on God, you would see all these cardboard gangsters in the club and they would always do the scene of Robert De Niro when he wants to whack Maury. And he's sitting at the bar and he's looking at Maury and Maury's playing cards and blah, 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 blah. And then you hear, dun, 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 dun. And then you'd have De Niro. See, I don't have any props right now, but De Niro, this looks more like a stogie. De Niro would be like this. And he would like lift his eye. They would do it. And we would laugh at them because we know they were sitting at the bar trying to impersonate Robert De Niro. But when I told the story back in the day, when I hung out with my friend at Butterfingers, this is a true story. In fact, I swear on God, this may be one of the jackets. Now, if anybody tuning in, they're like, oh no, here come the stories. It's Friday night. We did a show Monday. We did a show Wednesday. There's not a tremendous amount to get into. So I'm going to cover a couple of wrestling tidbits. By the way, for all the tweet bangamaniacs out there, brothers, how's your conversations about Quaden Bales and Arn Anderson going, eh? What about those conversations? If the first name doesn't sound familiar, probably the picture does. You know, it was on the net about this 4-year-old kid, 9-year-old kid, 7-year-old kid being bullied and really, really breaks your heart. It really does. The thing is that now all these videos are coming across the wire that he's an actor and he's got videos holding mounds and mounds of cash. And you know, people think that the mom is using the son to, you know, I don't know what you could call it. See, you can't say you're committing fraud because all they said was that he was bullied. It's not like they said, oh, he needs an operation, otherwise he's going to die. If people feel bad and say, hey, you know, we feel bad about this kid. We want to send him to Disney World. We want to send him here. We want to give him MMA lessons. Da, 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 da. Now people are starting to, there's a video of this kid holding crazy amounts of money from Australia. So he's an actor on top of it. You know, where are the bully videos when he was 8, when he was 7, or 6, or 5, or 4, or 3, or 2, or 3. All I'm saying is that you see something like that, and as terrible as it looks, you got to take a step back. You saw people online who genuinely, genuinely wanted to help, that felt heartbroken, 100% real emotion. But sometimes you have to take a step back and say, you know, before I start doing all this stuff, you know, let's try to find out a little bit more information. And I tell you, what the conversations about Nyla Rose, the conversations about this kid, and the conversations about Arn Anderson, you know, be woken up. I mean, my God, people are desperate to tweet bang gossip. You saw this picture? Oh, Arn Anderson in front of his house. Guy showed up, asked him to autograph a belt. Arn Anderson does it. And all of a sudden, the net. Who is this guy? That's so messed up. And what a jerk. And I'd never do that. And blah, blah, blah. Arn Anderson's got a freaking podcast. Why don't you wait until Arn Anderson comes out on his show and tells the full story? Now, what happens if you hear that Arn Anderson, you know, was up and maybe taking out the garbage and, you know, the guy showed up with the belt and what if it's his neighbor? You know, I just, something tells me there's more to both of these stories, but you look at the social medias of people, gossip. You could just see that they just don't have anything going on in their world. It's just, I stood away from both topics because first of all, I want to hear what Arn Anderson has to say first. And second of all, this little kid's, it's featured on an actor's website and there's tons of videos with him going like this and gangsta and it. But the worst thing that I will say in defense of this kid, and I've read this not hundreds of times or dozens of times, but I saw it written hundreds of times. When people were giving money for this kid, then it started to come out that maybe the mom is exploiting the kid to get cash, which is something that's very well done, you know, a lot over the years. It's not just because of GoFundMe or anything like that. The one thing that I saw written repeatedly, and I hope everybody out there has this same thought when I bring this up. You know, 90s guy, I'm curious of what this, how is this perceived in your neck of the woods? Because 90s guy is in Australia and his family lives in Australia. So I'm curious if anybody out there suspects fraud in any way. But here's the thing. What I saw written over and over again, I wanted to throw up. Seriously, I wanted to throw up. What people were writing was, well, you know, maybe it's a little bit exaggerated or maybe the mom is exploiting the son, but look at him. He obviously had been bullied. Now, I want you to just take a step back and think about what masses of amount of people are saying right now. Look at him. He must have been bullied. Do you say that towards fat people? Do you say that towards gay people? Do you say that towards transgender people? Do you say that towards blacks? You don't look at anybody and say, he must have been bullied. My God, what the f- is all of this crap for years and years and years? We got to love each other. It doesn't matter how much you weigh or what your skin color is or your sexual orientation. I mean, look at all the Shriners kids. Look at all the kids that are born with no arms, one arm, two heads, 3 feet, 7 toes. I mean, there's people all over the TV. It breaks my heart. You see the starving people overseas. They got no money. I mean, you immediately look at someone who has a deficiency and your immediate reaction is he had to have been bullied. Man, those people doing that don't even realize how moronic they sound. I don't assume somebody got bullied. That's just god-awful, terrible. And 90s guy who lives in Australia right now saying that the majority of people out there, well, he said everyone is a bit suspect about this. You know, I don't know. I don't know what the full story is. But yeah, I mean, these people with these agendas, it makes them feel good. They come across as sweethearts. Now, look, of course, there are people out there that genuinely saw that. I saw the video. I thought it was freaking terrible, man. I saw the kid leaning against the seat. And I was saying to myself, is he trying to get a tear to come down his eye? And once he has the tear come down his eye, then he's going to kind of like reveal the tear. It felt a little bit of acting. But the problem is, none of us know for sure if it's bullying or not. So me, I keep quiet until I see all this other stuff coming out. You feel bad for the kid. The kid's born with dwarfism. And for the record, because there's a lot of dispute online, he's 18, you know, I don't think anybody wrote, LOL, I thought you were 18. Some people know why I say that. Shaheen is like, no! But no, he's really 9 years old. There's actually some proof online that he's 9 years old. They did an interview in Australia back in 2015 about this kid and battling dwarfism, and he was 4 at the time. So, you know, it's just, you see these things and you got everybody out there and it blows me away. It blows me away, the bipolar. And you and I have mutual people that we know that are fucking bipolar. I wasn't going to curse tonight, but I had to just really emphasize it. They're not just bipolar. They are fucking bipolar. They write some of the zaniest shit and tweet bang so much. And then when it dies down, or maybe what they talked about was wrong, then it's like, you know, hey, you know, you can't believe everything you see on the net because it must be true, this or that. I have said this since 1997, doing wrestling hotlines. I don't want to be first. I want to be right. That story with that kid was terrible. I don't want to be first writing about it. I want to be right. I want to make sure that it's not a fraud. Feel bad for the kid. But I feel bad for millions and millions and the millions of kids that go through a lot of crap, all right? And the Arn Anderson thing, the guy, don't know if Arn woke up. Maybe Arn went outside to throw out the freaking garbage. You know, we don't know all the details. It looks crappy, the photo. But let's wait until we hear it out of Arn Anderson's mouth. Then you get the story. You get the story. Anyway, do I look ridiculous right now at this? You know, that's another thing. When we used to go to the club, oh, I didn't finish the story before. But when you used to go to the clubs, if you had a really nice watch on, like a Movado or a Tagliere, like you would always have a drink also, and you always wanted to make sure that your watch was being shown to everybody. This was like a moon phase watch. This is the real thing. This is not a cheap knockoff. I actually could sell this and get some decent cash. I think it's just because my brother gave it to me when he got married 20-some-odd years ago. And I always felt guilty, like if I put it on eBay and I sell it, you know, my brother maybe one day, you know, he's like, hey, you know, you still got that Movado watch? And I don't want to lie and say, oh, I lost it. No, I still got it. But no, but I'll tell you a quick growing up Don Tony story. And then we'll talk about SmackDown and a few other things. When I used to go to Butterfingers in Howard Beach, Queens, and like I said, if you want to hear some funny stories about Butterfingers and disturbing with gangsters, just do a Google search for Butterfingers restaurant, Howard Beach, Queens, New York. If you have an account with newspapers, type in Butterfingers and then Howard Beach in quotes and look at everything that comes up. I used to go to this restaurant. It was a restaurant in Howard Beach. We go from the late 80s to the early 90s. And what we would do is we would eat dinner, maybe like 10:30 at night. And one of my friends that I went to high school with was a waiter there. And he actually had some connections. So at 11 o'clock or 11:30, they would take all the dinner tables and they would move them along the wall. And then you would end up with a dance floor. The dance floor is not anything big, maybe a little bit bigger than the size of an inside of an indie wrestling ring. But what would happen is you get all of these women from the neighborhood. They were usually older, some divorced, single, you know, it was higher class because it was from Howard Beach. And everybody would be dressed to impress and this, this, and that. And one time, me and my friend Joe, we met these two girls. And one of the girls worked for some clothing company, and she said that she had boxes of Sergio Tacchini outfits. Sergio Tacchini. And these things at the time were like $150 for an outfit, maybe more, I think. And she's like, hey, you know, if you want to hang out after, you know, if I have something in your size, you know, you can have it. So me and my friend Joey are like, yeah, why not? So sitting at the table, I remember it was like 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. The freaking monitor had Speed Racer, You know, I don't know if it was called Speed Race, or maybe someone listening right now, watching in the chat, could tell me or clarify. Back in the early 90s, at like 2 o'clock in the morning, you used to have these cartoons on TV, and it would be Japanese cartoons. And it would be like a lot of car racing and this and that. And, you know, I'm pretty sure it was Speed Racer. And, you know, that's what was on the monitors. And we're hanging out with these girls. And, you know, there's a couple of guys at the bar, some real gangsters, some wannabe gangsters, cardboard gangsters. And I'll never forget, there was one guy at the bar. And he was standing there, and he's looking around, and he's bobbing his head to the music. Bob, a lot of you out there want me to play, like, Guido music when I wear stuff like this. I can't get flagged on YouTube. I'm not going to take a chance of getting copyright stuff. So that's why there's no music. But he's bobbing his head to the music and this and that. Then this guy, he had all the buttons open on his shirt like this, almost having his tits hanging out. And he's just chilling there. He's hanging out. And he's doing this, like Saturday Night Fever. And I've told this story over the years, but I never got to actually show everybody because I never did video. And his fucking jacket is starting to open up. Oh, my God, my tits might end up showing. So anyway, he's doing a Saturday Night video, and then he stops at the girl sitting at our table, and he's doing this. Just looking at it. He was moving his finger, and then he just stopped. And she started laughing her ass off. We were laughing too, but we were more like covering our head, like, you know, I don't know who the fuck this guy is. Maybe he is a gangster from the neighborhood. He got so embarrassed that he left. You know, the jacket did open up. I can't have my, can't show my tits. So anyway, so the guy leaves. So now it's like, I don't know, maybe 2 o'clock in the morning. And we go back to Forest Hills, and the girl's Jewish. And there's an area of Forest Hills, Queens, that's nothing but Jewish. We go in this apartment complex. It's like 2 o'clock in the morning. And immediately, my friend goes in the other room. He starts making out with this girl. I'm sitting at the bed with this other girl, and I start fooling around with her as well. And then she's like, you mind if I take my shoes off? And I'm saying to myself, yeah, take off more if you want. So she takes her shoes off. And I look down, and she's only got three toes on her foot. And I got so skivotched, and I'm looking at that, and I just no-sold it. I acted like I didn't say nothing. She kind of looked at me to see if I noticed, and I was just like... So maybe 5-10 minutes later, I said, look, I got to use the bathroom. I think what I ate early, I'm getting a little bit of, you know, upset stomach. I go to my friend. I'm like, Joey, come here. And he's like, what? I'm like, we got to get out of here. I got to go home. He's like, are you nuts? He says, I want to get laid. I'm like, I know, but there's just a little bit of a problem. He's like, what's the problem? I said, she's got three toes. He's like, what? I said, yeah, she's got three toes. He's like, I got to see this. So he walks in the other room, and he just looks on the floor, and he sees her foot, and it looked like a baby foot. I mean, she's got like baby toes. Obviously, something happened at birth that she had a foot was a little disfigured. And my friend's like, can't you like put a blanket over her legs and just get over? I'm like, nah, dude, I can't. I got to leave, man. So my friend Joey tells the other girl, he's like, look, you know, my friend, he drives and I have no other way of getting home. He's got a stomach ache. He's got to get up for work. So we got to leave, blah, 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 blah. So he's like, where are the tikini outfits? So she gave us like two tikini outfits each and we left and we never ever saw them ever again. But yeah, I was hanging out with her and she had deformed foot. And go figure, I have a car accident after and my foot gets all fucked up. So anyway, SmackDown tonight leading into Saudi Arabia. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I said Bayley versus Naomi, the scenic route to Mania, which might end up being Bayley versus Sasha. I thought for a few moments last week that maybe Carmella gets put in a three-way in Saudi Arabia. But the more I look at Carmella's outfits, I'm like, I don't even know if Carmella has an outfit that doesn't show her legs. You know what I mean? Like, so it ends up today, they have the number one contenders match. Naomi wins. Naomi has a really nice outfit that she can wear. More of her skin will be covered up, but she wears a full outfit, very colorful. She is more like an attraction. She's got great ability in the ring, don't get me wrong, but she is more the visual, you know, with the colors and everything. So she's going to be facing Bayley there. Again, I know some people think that Bayley and Naomi will be the match at WrestleMania, and that could very well end up being. But to me, it just doesn't feel special enough. Maybe the storyline gets really, really good, and maybe it does lead to it, but I still feel Bayley and Sasha Banks is money. Even if it's a friendly challenge, you know? But so that's what we have looking forward to next week. Now, as far as predictions go, I am going to do it on Monday's show because there is not another SmackDown before the Saudi Arabia show. The Saudi Arabia show is next Thursday. So Monday will be the final WWE televised event going into Saudi Arabia. We don't include NXT. NXT has nothing to do with that. So I'll give you my predictions next week. Seeing Goldberg, it was fine. You know, I tell you, it's amazing. I see all this disdain online towards Goldberg being back. And I find myself saying this now for almost, what, 3 years in a row? When it comes to Saudi Arabia is going to have special matches that you would not see here in the United States. The Saudi prince is paying crazy, crazy boatloads of money, offering millions of dollars for certain wrestlers to perform. For them, and I said this before, some of the matches may be a little bit shangada in Saudi Arabia, but you see how far Saudi Arabia is on the map to where WWE usually performs. And you see all the struggles and everything that has happened in that area of the world. And to have somebody come up close and personal, it's spectacle more than work rate. And you always have to look at that. You know, the last Saudi show was exceptionally good. But unfortunately, sometimes matches will not pan out. You know, immediately DX versus Kane and The Undertaker is a perfect example of that. And I brought this up many times in the past. You cannot fault Shawn Michaels for taking that payday to help his family build his nest egg further. But I also, as a wrestling fan, get very, very selfish. And I say, wait a minute. For years and years and years, we've been telling you, for years and years and years, this is how we used to wear it, everybody, back in the day. So I said, if I'm going to do 80s, I'm going to do it legit, authentic. One thing about me, authenticity. Authenticity. You know, trust me, when I say things, I usually back, oh, and by the way, you see back there? You see the wheel? I haven't decided yet what we're going to do with the wheel. Are we going to give away prizes? Are we going to do challenges? Are we going to put some random topics over there that we cover? Do we do a profile on someone? But I know we're going to use contests. I think what I'll probably do is have a couple of prizes that are just like nothing, gags, and some of them will be pretty damn good prizes. And if we do a contest one day, well, I'll have it written up because I could put things on there. The middle will have a Don Tony head in the near future. I'm still building it. But we just go back over here and we do this. Told you I was getting it. I don't lie, man. I don't lie. I'm not a good liar. So anyway. You know, so you got to look at Saudi Arabia in a total different light. Goldberg is returning this time for Saudi Arabia payday. And he's going to take on The Fiend. And, you know, like I said, I would be shocked beyond belief if Goldberg gets the win. But I think him fighting The Fiend and he gets choked out and he just can't answer the ref and he's just counted out. It's just, I don't think The Fiend is pinning Goldberg. But if he does the mandible claw and Goldberg just passes out from it, Goldberg doesn't lose any steam from it. So that's the way I feel right now about it. But there's disdain online. What do you want in place of that skit? Do you want more Baron Corbin and Roman Reigns? I see people constantly with their one-liners, their attempts at tweet banging, and always dissing AEW, dissing Goldberg, dissing this, dissing that. you never ever see them come up with solutions. You never ever see them come up with what could be better. It's just their whole life is, let me complain, let me moan, because I know that there's 40 or 50 other people out there that are doing the very same thing as me, and they'll all give me hand jobs and give me likes, and now I feel wanted and I feel important, and I could go to sleep at night, even though I have nothing next to me than just probably snot and, you know, on the bed and yellow toilet paper on the floor because your semen has just been soaked up and just dried and just laying there. I mean, Lord knows what these places look like. So, but yeah, Goldberg, how long is he on? 5 minutes? Big deal. I think the Bellas have more of a time today on TV. And you know what? Before I get into the Bellas, I do want to throw this out there because some of you were immediately thinking, hey, man, could this possibly be teasing Killer Cross showing up on SmackDown? For those that don't know, we had a segment with Mandy Rose that she was on her phone. And then all of a sudden you saw this. You saw that. Ah, okay. So people are thinking, I saw people writing it. They're writing TikTok, TikTok, TikTok. I hate to break it to you. I don't think it is Killer Cross. I think it's this. If you look at his hand closely and you look at that whole thing that they were doing, let's clear that out. That looks the same thing. Again, yeah, look at the segment. She's tweeting. What is she doing? Oh, wait. There we go. There you go. All right. Okay. Oh, okay. So I think that is Ali. I think that's Ali. So figured I'd just throw that out there for anybody that might want to know what the deal is with that. Now, Bellas announced today for the 2020 Hall of Fame. Look, there's a clip discussion I had on Monday, and it pretty much says it all. I think they were better suited for the 2021 Hall of Fame. They are in Hollywood next year. The Bellas, you know, I know Revolution, you know, just this and that. They're the Divas Revolution. They have paved the way for other WWE women to appear on reality television. They are not the leaders of the women's evolution of WWE or the progression. No, they are the leaders of the Divas Revolution, and the Divas showing up on E, showing up in reality TV shows. And that deserves a Hall of Fame induction, no question. But I think if they're in Hollywood next year, it fits like a glove. It's perfect. There is no reason. I don't know why they decided to do it this year. I don't get it. I mean, and I agree, and I've said this before, you got people like Miss Elizabeth and others that are not in the Hall of Fame. They will be soon. I think some people will get very upset when you hear that they're in that, you know, that Legends wing, that there's no ceremony, but they just mention it before the show starts. That's their way of putting 30, 40, 50, 100 people in and over the next bunch of years without having to acknowledge on TV or acknowledge it on the other. Some names will always be mentioned, but that's their easy way to get people in that they feel do not warrant a piece. Now, if they do that to Miss Elizabeth, I think that is absolutely messed up because Miss Elizabeth deserves a montage. Miss Elizabeth deserves to be celebrated. All right. I don't know who would accept the award for Miss Elizabeth, but it's just, I don't know why it took so long. Yeah, it's a tragic story, you know, but at the end of the day, we're celebrating the life and the career of Miss Elizabeth. We're showing thank you for what she did and entertained us for the years. The beauty, remember the beauty of it. But again, the Bellas, I have no problem with them going in the Hall of Fame. But I just think they were probably better fitted to go in for 2021. So. Now, as far as SmackDown tonight, couple of quick tidbits, and I just let everybody know, you know, tonight's show is going to be very short. So many other shows going on. It looks like I'll be doing Breakfast Soup on Patreon this Sunday with Mish. I'm going to talk to Mish tomorrow to see if he has everything set up. We may have to postpone it for a couple of days because he's still in the process of moving. A lot of stuff going on. It's very, very hectic on his end, but he's getting it done the right way. But, you know, as far as SmackDown tonight, look, it was a fun show, but it didn't really feel like it led to anything major. Yes, Carmella lost to Naomi, so Naomi takes on Bayley. We had that sympathy match with, you know, Braun and Nakamura and Elias. And it was a fun match. I mean, they used the weapons. I love the gong. And you have Nakamura doing like the nunchucks. I mean, I thought it was a fun match, but it just felt like, you know, all right, yeah, it was a fun match. It did whatever it did. And that's it. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know. It was a fun match, but after the show's over, it's like, oh man, I can't wait to see where this goes here or where this goes there or what does happen here. And here's another thing. We have Dolph Ziggler early on. Miz, Morrison, New Day, Usos. And a lot of people were very surprised that Miz and Morrison didn't get a win today. And I have been saying this for a while. Miz and Morrison getting those tag titles in Saudi Arabia. My original thought was Heavy Machinery being the one to take those belts off of Miz and Morrison at WrestleMania. But for anybody out there that does not frequent my YouTube channel more, I did a clip late Friday night last week when I got home from Valentine's Day dinner. And I did a whole segment on, you know, people just ripping apart Dolph Ziggler for what happened last week in the segment with the dinner and stuff like that. And I'm like, to be continued. There is so much more to this storyline that has not happened yet. And anybody that tuned into SmackDown last week thinking that they were going to get a payday from, you know, I don't know what world you're on. I mean, seriously, I would have maybe even thought about going on Tinder and finding some troglodyte to spend that night with, to have that much anger about a wrestling skit with Dolph Ziggler. The guy did his job perfect. He pissed you off. And like I said last week, I wanted to be that Mother Tucker. Mother Tucker, I want to see if Tucker is the one trying to sabotage Otis. You know? You think about it. I know a lot of you out there think Sonya Deville. Maybe. It's a little different. I'll tell you why. Because Otis, I'll tell you why I don't think it should be Sonya Deville. Otis had a much bigger crush on Mandy than Mandy did on Otis. Otis is the one stalking her behind the equipment before. You know, and he's like kind of like creepy a little bit if you think about it. You know, there's a difference between being shy and being like, hi, Mandy. Yeah, I'm really upset what happened last week. Hi, Mandy. I really, really am hurt. Hi, Mandy. Hanging out behind the crate? What are you, whacking off? Are you looking at her ass? So she's texting, and she's like, oh, my ride is late. I wonder if, you know, Tucker somehow has, you know, Mandy's information, and she texts Mandy, you know, your ride's going to be a little bit late, and then he texts Dolph Ziggler, and, hey, you know, telling you. Sonya Deville trying to sabotage it, you know, what are they going to do? Say Sonya Deville has an attraction to Mandy Rose, and that's why she didn't want her. See, that doesn't make sense either, because if Sonya Deville is sabotaging it, why would Sonya Deville then be happy with Dolph Ziggler fooling around with Mandy Rose? So I think I still, I love thinking outside the box. I'll still hope that Tucker is the one to sabotage. Now, the big question is, do they go all the way to WrestleMania with Tucker and Otis kind of like doing this, you know? I mean, we still got a little ways away to Mania. Was it 5 weeks? It's an awful lot of segments to do leading up into that. But, you know, the segment might have been kind of blah today. But if you went into last week thinking that this is a storyline that's going to go all the way into WrestleMania, there should have been no reason why you felt that there was an abrupt conclusion to the storyline simply because Otis sees Dolph Ziggler in the restaurant with Mandy. You know, so much more than that. So, to be continued. To be continued. Tonight's segment was kind of caca, especially that Otis had the balls to give her cake. Otis has the balls to give her fruit stuff or whatever. Otis has the balls to ask her out on a date. Otis has the balls to do this, this, and that. But Otis doesn't have the balls while she's just standing there waiting for a ride to go up to her and go, "Hey, Mandy. Hey, Mandy." I'm talking storyline, obviously. Oh, man, I was thinking about how many goofs out there that don't show their face online that see some of you females listening out there and they're like, "Hi." I'm having fun, everyone. No malicious intent. Just having fun. By the way, you know, I wasn't on last week. And look, I'm not going to spend any time doing analysis for XFL and stuff like that. I will be doing a special little segment online just for XFL. I'll probably record it over the weekend. But 2 weeks ago, "Hey, Mandy." People like, 2 weeks ago, if you pay me, I'll lick the other nipple. No. 2 weeks ago, before XFL started, I said, I'm very concerned about some of these rule changes that you're going to have some casual NFL fans are going to tune in. They're going to be like, "What is this? 2 points, 3 points, 4 points?" And it felt, again, it felt like they're taking a little bit from baseball, the bottom of the ninth, extra innings. And they're also taking a little bit from basketball, the three-point play. You know, when you play basketball, you could get 2 points, shoot, dunk, whatever, layup. But if you want, you go a little bit further back, you get 3 points. So I think that was the thinking with XFL. You know, hey, you get the point conversion. You want three? Come over here. So I didn't know how that was going to turn out. Now, it was obvious that the ratings were going to go down in week two because of the newness factor starts to go away a little bit. Again, I don't judge the future of XFL based on 1 or 2 weeks because I remember how the XFL was in 2001 and the feedback was mainly positive and it went off the rails very, very quickly. But I will say this. I absolutely, absolutely eat my words from 2 weeks ago. I have watched some of the games, and although the Guardians, yeah, I might have been wishful thinking after week one, but it is very good. And what I love about it, and this is where I think XFL got it right, and I'm not even talking about the play on the field or the rules. In 2001, I remember Vince, they were asking him, "Hey, what does the XFL stand for?" And he said, "Well, you know, there really is no explanation, but if the NFL was the no fun league, we're the extra fun league." And they were trying to come off almost as a replacement for the NFL. "You don't like the lackadaisical rules and this and that? Here's some real smash mouth football. You know, the XFL." Now it's for the love of football. That's it. That's it. And it's fabulous. It's fabulous. The games are very smooth. Some of the following the players on the sidelines gets a little annoying at times, but, you know, that will be tweaked. Look at this like AEW in a sense. AEW is still a new promotion. They're going to have growing pains. XFL is going to have growing pains. As time goes on, little things will be tweaked. Little things will change. But so far, home run. Home run. XFL doing a great job. Love it. And like I said, I will definitely be doing a segment in the near future just dissecting. I almost wanted to wait a week until they have their four games in the books and then give like a report at that time and then give another one at the end of the season. And then, you know, we go into playoffs. But so far, it's a lot of fun. It really is. And, you know, I think attendance will continue to build. And, yeah, sure, a lot of names are not well known, but there's a couple that are starting to get very, very big very, very quickly. Now, a while back, I had said that I was curious why Colin Kaepernick never, you know, there was never any buzz of him signing with the XFL. And, you know, few people brought this to my attention, and I had known this, but I didn't really think if this would be the sole reason. But the XFL has a no-kneeling policy, and everybody stands up and, you know, respects the flag. I don't know if that is just something that he's like, totally out of bounds for me. I'm not going to speculate. I'm not going to guess. Maybe he just feels he just wants NFL and nothing else. So, maybe Carmelo, he could be right. Maybe he wants too much money. Could very well be as well. But you know, if any of the XFL teams signed Colin Kaepernick, the ratings would be through the roof because everybody out there would want to see, number one, if he kneels anyway, they would want to see if this guy kicks ass, and then people would be like, you see, a team from the NFL should have picked this guy up, and, you know, they're biased and this and that. And let's also be honest, there's a lot of haters of Colin Kaepernick that would tune in hoping that, you know, there's a high hit somewhere by another player. So, and look, that's no different than when I was a kid and you'd watch football or you watch hockey and you would have some players that you just wanted to see get decked. I mean, it's just the way it was. Even in basketball, you would see some players. I remember watching Isaiah Thomas, who is one of the greatest basketball players of all time. I know here in New York, the Knicks, you know, there's not a great memories with Isaiah Thomas, but he was an awesome player for the Pistons. And that guy, sometimes he would get bumped and not even touched, and he'd be like, and he would just fall on the floor and be like, son of a bitch, just somebody just deck him. You had other players like that. I mean, that's why I used to love like John Starks and Charles Oakley and Grandmama. They would provoke fights. I mean, there were others as well. But, and by the way, I actually, somebody sent me as a gift. I haven't gotten it yet, but it's a retro Knicks shirt. And it's got John Starks, Patrick Ewing, and Charles Oakley on it. So for any Knicks fans out there, I will be wearing that in the near future. I apologize to the person. I was going to be wearing a Space Invaders retro shirt tonight. But because we ended up blowing past 7,000 subscribers, a lot of you out there wanted me to go retro. And like I said, there are a lot of other clothes that I have not cleaned yet. I have silk shirts that you can't just run in a washing machine. I have all white outfits, white jeans, white shirt, white shoes, you know, so there's going to be a lot more coming. Am I a hoarder? Yes, I'm a hoarder, but I'm not a hoarder like you see these people on TV where they just got crazy boxes everywhere. There were certain things about my memories that I never wanted to throw out. In the case of my clothes, it's a very easy explanation. When I had my car accident in 1996, I had a gigantic closet of clothes. And I'm sure a lot of you out there have clothes that might be 10 years old. Maybe you don't wear it anymore, but in the back of your closet, you have clothes that could be 10 years old. When I had my car accident in 1996, I had clothes all the way in the back of the closet from the 80s. And over time, things would be put in boxes and it would be stored away. And then next thing you know, a year go by, 3 years go by, 5 years go by, 10 years go by, and it just sits there. I still have crazy amount of VHS tapes, stuff that I have not transferred onto DVD yet. I still have my original XPW video library. For those that don't know, you get a kick out of this because I never told this publicly. Big Dick Dudley, God rest his soul. A lot of you remember him from ECW. Big Dick Dudley. Wrestled in XPW as well. So anyway, Frank Goodman was very close with Big Dick Dudley. And when Big Dick Dudley passed away, some of his items were given to Frank. You know, mementos, things, because they were very close. A lot of people didn't know that. So after I was doing work for XPW in 2002, and I started doing work for Frank in 2004, 5, somewhere around there, maybe 6, I had pushed a lot of tickets. I had bus trips for Frank. I would sell 2-3 buses, sell them out, have 100, 150 people go into the shows in Long Island. I'm sure a lot of you remember you were on my buses. And sometimes Frank would say to me, look, these ticket sellers didn't give me money yet. I don't really have cash right now. Do you want this instead? Do you want that instead? So one time he says to me that he owed me some money. And he said, I have this video collection that Big Dick Dudley owned. And it was from XPW. And Frank doesn't watch XPW. He never did. Wasn't interested in seeing it. So he's like, you want these videos? I'm like, sure, I'll take them. So he gives me the box, and it's the masters of the first season of XPW when they were in California, the master VHS tapes. So I still got them, and I started burning them, transferring them onto DVD. Quality was unbelievable. These are the original masters, and I remember going on my hotline, maybe in 06, 07, talking about how, wow, and I was bringing up the masters. Somebody went back to Franken's like, yo, those are worth a lot of money. So, and I found out after somebody had gone up to Frank. Frank sends me an email, and he's like, you still have those XPW masters? I'm like, yeah, why, Frank? He's like, well, it ends up that somebody in Big Dick Dudley's family really wanted them, and, you know, he wasn't supposed to have them, and, you know, if I could give it back to him. I put two and two together immediately. That son of a bitch, and I say that with love, Frank. I swear I say that with love. That son of a bitch wanted those tapes back so he can make money off of them. So I still have them. So obviously the answer was no. You know, Matt Hardy did a Q&A tonight. I was hoping one of you out there would have asked him, like, hey, you know, this podcast, the guy, Don Tony, wants to know what kind of jacket that was you're wearing Monday. I had some genius before, and I say that with love. I don't mean anything nasty. Like I said, you could criticize me. My God, you see what's going on my channel on YouTube with the Nyla Rose discussion? I am getting eaten alive, spit out by so many people out there that totally disagree with my rant. And, you know, I'm not going to lie, I had a few people that I really respect send me private messages like, dude, you're getting killed on there. Not everybody disagrees, but you're getting killed. And I'm like, no, oh, this is awesome, man. I disagree with a lot of people's views on the Nyla Rose situation, but at least you had the kahunas to speak your mind. Even though I disagree with you, you stepped up and gave your 2 cents. And I'll always respect that. Again, you see people online. It doesn't even have to be podcasters or webmasters or bloggers. You know, they'll tell you up and down that they're thick skin, tough as nails, blah, 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 blah. Give them the little, slight of criticism. Or, I mean, my God, it's like you killed their, you know, beloved pet. It's like you stepped on a pet's tail. You know what I do? I don't know if I could do it in here. No, I can't. Anybody that has like ceramic tiles in their house, what I do is to piss off my girl. I would go inside and do it right now. I'm sure you all wouldn't care, but I don't know if it would do it with these shoes. But when I'm in the house with her and I have sneakers on, I'll take my shoe. I don't know if any of you ever done this just to piss off like your significant other. I take my shoe and I rub it while I'm wearing it against the bottom of the ceramic tile. And it sounds like the sound when you like step on a dog's tail. Let me see if I can do it. Let me see if you can do it. Let's see. Just see if you can hear this. No, I can't. Shit, that sucked. All right, that was an epic fail. That was an epic fail. Next week, I'll wear the right shoes. And you know, you'll see what I'm talking about. It just sounds like a screech. And my girl's like, stop imitating what you want to do to my dog. I'm like, I don't want to hurt any dogs, but I just do it because it just gets under her skin. She thinks like I stepped on it. You ever accidentally step on a dog's tail and you hear that streak? Take a sneaker and walk on a ceramic tile floor and just, you know, like, you'll see what I'm talking about. So we're not really injuring animals anyway. I don't want anybody getting triggered. Please. My God. It's a joke. So anyway, let's get back to some other stuff, because how long are we going already? All right, almost an hour, and I really don't want to go too far past that. But all right, let's finish up SmackDown. We'll talk about a couple of other things. So you got Goldberg and The Fiend. It is what it is, blah, 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 blah. I think, again, you got Miz and Morrison are probably almost guaranteed to get those belts. Remember, it was only four matches tonight. And you got the Mandy storyline. There's really not much I think we should even add to SmackDown. Now, Dells, if you're hearing this, we don't need no SmackDown review as a clip, because SmackDown, fun show, but pretty uneventful. Hyping up Corbin and Reigns again in Saudi Arabia. I have no interest in seeing that, seriously. I mean, I would have more fun like accidentally shitting on my floor, stepping in it, and then having to clean the floor and clean my sneakers. I would have more fun doing that than watching Baron Corbin and Roman Reigns again. Somebody asked me earlier, like, what's your least favorite feud of the year so far? And it's not even close. It's Roman Reigns and Baron Corbin. Now, I will switch gears for a minute. I don't know if you all saw this. Cody! Wrestler of the Week for AEW. Now, my question to everybody out there is, has AEW done that on a weekly basis, or is this something new? I like it. I think you should have a Wrestler of the Week. Hopefully, we don't have it be Omega, Young Bucks, Cody, Omega, Young Bucks, Cody, Omega. You got to split it up a little bit. You know, you got to start putting some names there that would not normally get in that spot. Somebody has a kick-ass match, you got to show them love. I mean, look, Cody's match, and, you know, I didn't give it enough justice on Wednesday because I have to cover so much stuff. But the cage match was great. And, you know, I kind of feel bad not showing more love to Wardlow, because when that guy first showed up in AEW, a lot of you may remember that I got into a little bit of his background in wrestling, and I said, this guy, if you seek out his matches, he is pretty freaking good. You know, I don't know if he'll ever be a world heavyweight champion for AEW, but he is very good, and he did a great job in the match as well. He didn't look like a deer in headlights. You know, it was his first match, technically his first important match, and I thought he did a wonderful job. Cody, you know, doing the moonsault was wonderful, you know, busted open and doing the speech after. You know, for longtime fans, I know a lot of you out there kind of nod your head. I'll give you an example. A wrestler wrote this today. And I'm not making fun of the wrestler in any way. I totally respect what he said because he's a younger guy. But this wrestler said, you know, I don't remember exactly how he worded it, but he said, you know, there's not many times in wrestling that I have cried over the years. Eddie Guerrero's death, maybe Eddie Guerrero's win, something else. But he cried when Cody was talking about his dad when he was cutting the speech. And sure, it was a beautiful tribute. I didn't see this wrestler talk about crying when The Rock gave his eulogy that was online towards his dad. I'm not saying that, you know, but my point is that for young wrestling fans out there that may have not even been alive when Eddie was at his prime or others, that they've seen clips of yesteryear later on in life. Anybody listening or watching this right now, if you were a big-time wrestling fan when Eddie Guerrero went from Eddie Sucks to, you know, to one of the most beloved wrestlers of all time. You know, some wrestlers, after they die, people put them on an extra high pedestal. I'll give you an example. Owen Hart was an awesome wrestler. We now, through shoot interviews and little clips that have survived, we have learned how beloved he was behind the scenes, the ribs that he would do, but everybody loved Owen Hart. Owen Hart, when he did not leave WWF when Bret went to WCW, and he was coming out in street clothes and doing some of the run-ins and stuff like that, I could tell you, as a wrestling fan, and doing hotlines up until 90, you know, I started in 97. I don't remember much of anybody saying, one day Owen Hart's going to be WWF champion. And the reason being is because when Bret was champion and he was feuding with Owen, that was the only time that some of us said, wow, you think Owen could possibly win it? And when it didn't happen and he didn't have a run with the heavyweight title, then you had Steve Austin go from the Ringmaster to Stone Cold. Then you had the Attitude Era. Then you had Triple H. Then you had Mick Foley. Then you had D-Generation X. Then you had The Rock. And there's other names that I'm leaving out. Owen was not on that same level. Even after what happened with the Montreal Screwjob. Once Owen passed away, almost everybody out there said, you know, if he didn't die, he would have been WWF champion. And I just honestly don't see that. I don't see how he would have been champion. There were so many people above him. Now, if they would have done the roster split and he was still wrestling and you had a Raw title and a SmackDown heavyweight title, then yeah, there's a possibility. But other wrestlers as well. You have had wrestlers over the years pass, and then people will just say, oh, if he didn't die, he would have been this. And a lot of times, you know, it's just because you're reminiscing and pay tribute. You know, but when you have younger fans now, and they did not live through all of the memories. Eddie Guerrero was probably the best example of them all. When Eddie Guerrero, with the Eddie Sucks, no one in their wildest dreams ever thought one day Eddie Guerrero would be the most beloved wrestler in the last 20 or 30 years. I mean, some people may have a different person at the top of their list, but to me, Eddie Guerrero, 20 years, most beloved wrestler. Just somebody, you know, and I have cried over other tragedies, but just that person, you just, there was just something about him. And so when you have wrestlers or fans now saying like Cody Segment Wednesday had them in tears, and it's one of the most touching things that they have ever seen in their lifetime as a wrestling fan, you know, they may not have lived through a lot of the memories that we did. So it's very easy to brush them off. It's very easy to watch or listen to it and just say, what are you, freaking nuts? But you got to just put that in perspective. There's certain times that things happen and it just chokes you up. It just sparks a memory. You know, I mean, some people out there, you know, with their dads, Cody's emotional tribute. I mean, hell, I talked about it last week for those that didn't hear it or see it. When The Rock posted online that eulogy to his dad, it was Saturday night, 11:20 p.m., I believe. I watched it, and for the first time in my entire life, at around 11:30 at night Eastern, I called my father up and just to tell him that I loved him. And my father's on the other line. He's like, what are you calling me this late to tell me that for? I'm sleeping. What? Something's wrong. Something like that. No. Nothing's wrong. I watched something online and it just made me really choked up. And I had to call you to tell you I love you. And he's like, I love you too. Now don't call me again. And he hung up. In my entire life, I've never called my mom and my dad late at night just to tell them I loved them. If I was on the phone with my mom about something and we would hang up and I'd say, all right, Ma, I'll talk to you tomorrow. I love you. That's something different. But The Rock's eulogy sparked me. So Cody sparking others, you can't look at it like, over-the-top AEW fans. Nah, man, human emotion, sometimes it sparks feelings for maybe in ways that you would not relate to. And same thing with you. You might get sparked with a moment that really, really gets to you in a positive way. By the way, what the hell is this thing? Suggested wrestling interviews with DJ Dells. Wow, okay. I see this popping up on my screen. I didn't know what that was all about. He must be able to finagle some stuff while I'm doing the show. That's pretty cool. Like I said, I'm still new on YouTube, everybody. I'm only doing this, 5 weeks? So I need 2 months to really get the feel for this. Even earlier, for some reason, the audio on my webcam just decides to turn on, and I just did it on purpose, and some people are like, what the hell is this echo? I assure you, I did not turn it on, but for some reason, it just pops on. So little things like that, I have to figure out how to disable things without screwing things up. So in time, it'll all be put together. Now, I want to give a special shout out and a plug for anyone out there really, I recommend everybody go check this out. You, I'm sure, have heard of Shaheen, Nuclear Heat Graphics. He does all my artwork now, strictly for me, and he's an awesome artist. He's doing a lot more artwork for me. We're going to have new shirts on sale very soon, Wednesday night Dynamite shirts, some Don Tony themed shirts. We're going to do a new Breakfast Soup shirt. There's going to be about 4 or 5 shirts coming out in the next month or two with all new designs. Well, he just opened up his own t-shirt store, and it is ChairShotTees.com. And this, actually, you know what? I want to put on the main screen. These are a bunch of shirts that he now has on sale, and he has agreements with either the wrestlers or their families. That's Eddie Guerrero, Terry Funk, Jake the Snake Roberts, Bruiser Brody. Yeah, ChairShotTees.com. There's Terry Funk again, Sabu, Terry Funk, awesome, and the Headhunters. So this is just, you know, it just launched, and I wish him nothing but the best, man, because he is just a great artist. And a great guy. I mean, I've gotten to know him personally. And my God, if you had any idea how much he helps some fellow podcasters behind the scenes, I can't reveal publicly some of the things that he does. Maybe him and Mish have. But if you had a clue, it just blows me away, his generosity. The guy is an awesome artist. And Terry Funk's my favorite wrestler of all time, so you know I'm definitely buying one of those for sure. But that same artist is going to be making stuff for yours truly. So go to that store, chairshottees.com. There's going to be more wrestlers added in the very near future. And it's wonderful. So I wish him nothing but the best. And if you live on the Northeast, we are going to be getting together very, very soon. Mish is in Philly. Joey Numbers is in Boston. John Draper lives upstate New York. Shaheen lives in Philly as well. So we're going to all be getting together probably in Philly for a wrestling event. This is going to be within the next 2 months. So if you live on the Northeast, we're going to definitely get together. Now, originally, some of us were going to get together for AEW in Newark. But I'm just telling you straight out as it is, some of the people that I have contacts with that deals with AEW directly, as far, I don't look for free stuff. I don't want free stuff. I like paying my way. I like doing my own thing. You know, if you look at my updated profile on Twitter, you know, I don't breastfeed. You know, I always want to feel like whatever, anything that I do in life that I could do myself, that I don't need to depend on others. There are some people out there that have to depend on someone else. Otherwise, they can't do it. And the thing is that, you know, I would pay my way, but, you know, if I want to cover it on the show, you know, it would be good if I had like a press pass or something like that. And, you know, especially if I'm going to go with a few others and some of my members of the Donzilla Army want to get together as well. We looked into possibly renting out maybe like a whole row or a skybox, and they have not responded even once. So I don't know if it's because, you know, yours truly way back in the day was a little more of an asshole with doing shows. But, you know, my God, talk about, you know, a group of people that say that they're, you know, they just, there's this inner, and, you know, pun intended, there's this inner circle. There is this inner circle that you have the aura, you know, that people are let in, but in that case, it's not true. And it shouldn't be for, you know, for everybody. But especially if they come to your neck of the woods and you're pushing and promoting it, and you have a bunch of people that would go as well. And no, even when I was originally going, next weekend, I was going to go to C2E2 in Chicago. I have my plane fare done. I had the hotel reserved. And what ended up happening was the show that we were supposed to do at C2E2, they canceled it. C2E2 just didn't care. So I'm like, Bafangul, I'm not spending money at C2E2 if, you know, they're not going to come in there. They're coming all the way from New York, and we're not the only people. And I'm not into comic books and the, whatever the shit that they have. So if you can't even give us an hour, Bafangul. I don't need it. But at the same time, I had all that stuff booked before AEW announced their pay-per-view. So now, you know, their pay-per-view is a half a block from my hotel. So I'm like, all right, you know, maybe I'll go to Chicago anyway, hang out with John Krauser and everybody else. At the time, Mish was still living there. And they say, all right, we'll go to AEW after, and we'll go just for the pay-per-view, and then I'll fly back home. And when I started looking into, you know, press passes or going to the event or covering this, you know, should I get in touch with TNT? Should I get in touch with AEW? Should I do this? And I contact two people that I deal with. Yeah, and look, I sent the emails, you know, no response. And then one time, you know, the person sent me the email and he showed me who was emailed to. I'm not going to mention any names, but they definitely got it. Didn't go to spam box, no response whatsoever. So I'm like, hey, you know, if nobody, I don't want anybody rubbing on my leg. I don't want anybody, you know, pandering to me. I don't like pandering to people either. But, you know, if you got somebody that's coming all the way from New York and you got a bunch of people that are also coming and they want to pay their way, but they also want to cover the event, and you just get ignored for like 2-3 weeks straight, I canceled that shit. I ain't going to go where, you know, people aren't wanted. Carmella says, I look like somebody from Jersey Shore. Yeah. How many times have I said over the years, me and my friends were Jersey Shore before Jersey Shore even existed? This is what I'm wearing right now. with my decks. You see them? These aren't copies. These are the real thing. I'm wearing Sergio Tacchini stuff. This is from the 80s. This is my actual outfit. This is what we used to wear going out. And we would literally have it all the way down like this. The only difference between now and then, and my hair is pasted back for a reason, because that's what we always did. We did the wet look. So that's why my hair would look so thin and pasted back. I did that on purpose. But the only difference is I used to have a bush over here. I have not posted online yet the photo of me and Daphne from the Chiller Convention in 2002. I post that photo. If you think of 70s porn and that level of Brillo pad bush that you would see on chicks, multiply that by 10, and that's what my chest hair looked like. I took a picture next to her, and my chest hair is like everywhere. It looks like 7 different female porn stars combined. If I would have taken Awesome Kong when she was chopping the hair off of people, and instead I gave her, you know, maybe a buzzer, and I said, hey, cut off the pubic hair of all the 70s porn chicks. If this was the 70s and she gave me this big bushel of pubic hair, you glued that all to my chest, that still would not be enough of what you saw. I haven't posted the photo yet because I'm embarrassed by it. I got this gigantic chia pet on my chest. That's what we used to do. That's what it used to be. And I used to wear an earring. Used to have an earring. I still have it somewhere. I have not worn an earring in probably 20 years. Somebody said that I was wearing an earring when I worked for XPW. Because back then, you know, they wanted like your style a little bit different. I had purple highlights in my hair at the time. I got to find a picture of it. I know there's a picture of me and Darkseid from XPW. And if you look closely, you could sort of see a little bit of purple highlights. But somebody said that I was wearing an earring at the time as well. I don't remember that, but could very well be. But I would, you know, maybe next week, if we do an episode of the Don Tony Show next week, I will post on here the photo of yours truly with Daphne and the bush that's on my chest. It'll be worth it, trust me. And I think that we're almost done, everybody. Oh, you know, I do want to talk about this very quickly. You know, we talked about Wednesday with the wrestling figures. The toy convention is this weekend, and the toy convention, they're going to have a lot more photos as far as, you know, the AEW figures coming out. I think they're pretty cool. I think some people are just making a big deal over nothing about it. So there'll be more shots coming through. And a few people said, you know, maybe some of the figures would look good behind me in the wall. And I plan on getting that. I actually have a picture coming for the wall, and I don't want to give it away, but it is a very popular wrestler that is still alive, that unfortunately does not wrestle anymore in WWE, that everybody wants to see in the WWE Hall of Fame, but it has not happened yet. And no, it is not CM Punk. But I have a photo. If anybody remember the Obama picture that had like different colors and it said Hope on the bottom? I have one of a particular wrestler that says Hall of Fame or H-O-F. We want him in the WWE Hall of Fame. So when I put it in the background, I think people will say that's probably the most popular picture that I have back here. So I'll have that up next week for sure. But, you know, we'll see. Maybe I will get a couple of AEW figures and put them in the background. Now, I have a few things to talk about on Monday. I'm going to save some conversation for there. And, but I do want to leave everybody with this. No, Carmelo, it's not Owen Hart. It's somebody who's still alive that we would love to still see wrestle in the WWE, but it does not. And we want to see him in the Hall of Fame, and he's still alive. And a lot of us think he could still wrestle as well. Mr. Art, I think, yeah, it's Christian. But it's such a cool picture. It's got Christian. It's a silhouette, and it says for the, you know, Hall of Fame, like we want him for the Hall of Fame. I'm telling you, it's going to look so cool behind me. I already picture it already. I don't know if you could see it in the background because the lighting is a little bit Shungada still, but that's Mike Tyson all the way on the left. But look, I am a fan of Dave Meltzer, going back to the 80s, late 80s. And I still subscribe to his newsletter. He did some very wonderful stuff for me when Chris Candido had passed away. A lot of people may not know this. I know I've brought it up in the past. But when we did the fundraiser, when Chris Candido died, and we made those tribute shirts, I wore one of them not too long ago. Dave Meltzer sent me 100 Observer newsletters, the edition that paid tribute to Chris Candido. And the first 100 people that bought shirts from me got that Observer newsletter tribute for free. If anybody out there talks to Meltzer, you can ask him. He will tell you. He sent me 100. That man also pushed the Conan drive more than any other journalist out there. I will always be indebted for what he did for stuff that I was involved in. So I have to preface that because of this. There's a lot of buzz going around right now that Meltzer wrote in his Observer newsletter that there's talks between ESPN and the WWE to bring the WWE pay-per-views to ESPN Plus. And they're talking about, you know, that it would be moved there and exclusive there and this and that. If anybody remembers my analysis from 2 weeks ago, I talked about the rumors of Amazon. And I also brought up examples of what you see on Hulu, Philo, Netflix, and others. WWE pay-per-views do not only have to be on one source. Just because they may ink a deal with Amazon or ESPN or another outlet out there doesn't mean that it's no longer available in the WWE Network. WWE Network would lose a crazy number of subscribers if the pay-per-views are not offered live. So what I'm saying about this is not that I don't believe Dave Meltzer at all, but here is my advice for everybody out there who has tweeted about this, written about this, talked about this, of what Meltzer said in his newsletter. Here's my advice to everybody out there. And I say this with respect, and I'm not saying that Meltzer is wrong or lying, but WWE is a multi-billion dollar company. It is a publicly traded company. If Vince McMahon gets a stomach infection, investors might get worried and think that it's terminal and sell stock. I know I'm exaggerating. My point is, you see something like that pop up on the newsletter, the first thing that you should be doing is checking Google Finance, checking Fox Business Network, checking the stock market, checking Forbes, checking all of these companies that analyze stock and analyze every little detail of what a publicly traded company does. If WWE and ESPN, ESPN Plus, ESPND, ESPN Classic, ESPN whatever, if they're negotiating a deal where the pay-per-views could possibly be taken off the network and put on there, the stock market would be talking about it. Some of these financial experts would be talking about it. Not a wrestling newsletter. Just like that Saudi Arabia disaster the last time around. You had all of these goofs in podcast land and website land that were talking about hostage situation and they're being held against their will and they might. And I looked, I said, you know, let me see if CNN's covering this. No. Let me see if Fox News is covering this. No. Let me see if MSNBC is covering this. No. Let me see if Associated Press is covering this. No. But WrestlingVirgins.com is. Oh, it must be true. It is a freaking publicly traded company. If the financial world is not talking about such a huge deal that this could possibly be, don't put any weight into it. This could very well end up happening. But trust me, people that invest in WWE stock, and again, it was kind of a shame when I had that combo with Kev 2 weeks ago. I was hoping to God that he would have read all the financial numbers to really get into the fact that the WWE Network seemed to be the only huge revenue stream, you know, with positive numbers on it. But, you know, I can't you know, like teach someone and then get their comments on it at the same time. So I have to rely on my original analysis on the D'Antoni show. But if people remember what I said on the D'Antoni show, I'll say it here. You know, the WWE Network, there are so many problems with the live shows and the overseas deals and ticket prices and revenue and lack of certain merchandise and other things going on. The network is an absolute critical piece of WWE's revenue stream. And if you take off the pay-per-views and put it, whether it's Hulu, ESPN, whatever it is, that stock is going to take a hit. Sure, WWE may end up getting a crazy amount of money from ESPN or Amazon or somewhere else. But us fans, I know a ton of people out there that have said it already, and I'm one of them. If they take the pay-per-views off the WWE network, I cancel my subscription. I'm not interested in paying $9.99 for the WWE network and then have to pay $4.99 for ESPN or pay $8.99 here or buy a year subscription. No, I already pay for multiple things. I subscribe on Fight TV for NWA stuff. I buy some Impact Wrestling here and there. I buy the AEW pay-per-views. I have the monthly WWE network subscription. Sure, I'm sure I could afford an extra $10, but I ain't spending it. So trust me, you're taking money from Peter to pay Paul. So they may get a great deal with ESPN, but all those customers who cancel, like I said, I have no problem with Meltzer writing this, but for all of you out there, the first instinct should be not, let me tweet so I can get likes. No, your first instinct should be, is the financial world talking about this? And if they're not, hold. It's my advice. That's pretty much it. I think we can talk about the rest of the stuff next week. I have a few things. Oh, and by the way, you know, I wanted to say this too. You know, apparently the WWE stock news is not sexy enough for podcasters and websites. How many of you out there saw any websites write today or any podcasters talk about the fact that WWE stock is up almost 16 or 17% this week? Started this week around $42 a share. And I think at the end of the day today, it was almost $50 a share. 16%. Nobody said a fucking peep about it. That's exactly my point. You know, people are just trying to get attention. There's 200,000 wrestling news sites out there. There's 100,000 wrestling podcasts out there. And there's 300,000 wrestling, you know, people on social media. And they're all fighting to get noticed, get attention. Look at me, look at me, look at me. And, you know, that is what it is. It just, the stock is not sexy enough. But when one person writes it, then they'll all cut and paste and they'll read it word for word. I just figured I'd point that out because nobody's talking about it. Stock is up this week. I wonder why. All right. I'm out of here, everybody. How long did we do? Hour and 23 minutes. That's manageable. Like I said, I have a lot of other things to get into next week. Oh, you know, we could mention this. I thought this was great. You know, some parent got triggered because Shayna Baszler said shit. And that was her response. This Mr. Austin, I don't mind, Shayna, if you pull something like this, but my kids were watching, and if you aren't going to keep it PG, you should say so. The fuck does that even mean? She's supposed to say, Becky, parents, hold your ears. I'm going to beat the shit out of you. Shayna's response to this guy, or you could be a father and tell them that I am a terrible person and they should not be like me or like that, that they would get grounded and their tablets taken away if they ever say that nasty word, because I don't give a crap about your kids, so I won't modify my behavior for them. Bravo. Bravo. Loved it. Loved that response. And I guarantee you that guy wasn't like, how dare Shayna say that about me and my children? You know what that guy did? You jerked off. All right, everybody. I got water all over my face now. It felt good, though, because this jacket has you a little bit hot. So I am out of here. I will be back Monday with your next installment, the Don Tony and Kevin Catchell Show. Everybody be well. I catch you all again on Monday. Much love as always. Keep spreading the word. Let everybody know about this channel. Let everybody know. And if you haven't subscribed yet, please do. It doesn't cost anything. If you like the clips, hit the like button. Apparently that's a good thing. Anyway, enjoy the weekend, everybody. Talk to you all soon. Ciao.
Son, oh my.
It was fun to channel surf. It was kind of hard to do a little pocket pool after you're hitting the last channel button 50 times for 2 hours plus.
Son, oh my.
And his whole idea of overanalyzing, oh, he's an alcoholic and he misplaced the belt. And how could you have someone champion like that? The fuck out of here.
Wednesday night?
Don, oh my. You can have fun. You really are. I did shoot a little bit of a load on my leg. Yeah, I got water all over my leg too, so. All right, everybody, have a good night. Let me see if I could do this again like before. How did we do this before? Oh, no, it was like this. There we go.